Hello, Zimbabwe, and welcome to Live Talk. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I am your host, Taboka Ncube. Today on Live Talk, we are looking at the political developments in Zimbabwe and the role youths play in shaping the political landscape in the country. This at a time when the opposition Citizens Coalition for Change leadership is losing control of the party and blaming it on the ruling ZANU-PF party. But first, let's take a look at what is happening in the other parts of the world. Lawmakers and parents are blaming social media platforms for contributing to mental health problems in young people. A group of U.S. states is suing the owner of Instagram and Facebook for promoting their platforms to children despite knowing some of the psychological harms and safety risks they pose. From New York, VOA's Tina Trin reports that a cause and effect relationship between social media and mental health may not be so clear.
33 U.S. states are suing Meta, the owner of Facebook and Instagram, for the social media platform's alleged harm to children's mental and physical health.
In seeking to bolster profits, Meta has repeatedly misled the public about the substantial dangers of its products. It has concealed the ways in which Instagram and Facebook exploit and manipulate its most vulnerable consumers, teenagers and children.
Attorney Matthew Bergman filed earlier social media cyberbullying cases that are now part of the multi-state lawsuit. He says social media platforms are dangerous for young people, less because of their content and more for the way they're designed to promote addiction.
The algorithms are explicitly designed to maximize user engagement, not give kids what they want to see, but give them what they can't look away from. It subjects them to material that they're not looking for, that makes them hate the way they look, hate their bodies, that encourages them to take risky behavior.
For its part, Meta says it offers some 30 tools and resources to help teens safeguard their privacy and well-being, including protections against unwanted contact.
So an adult tries to message a teen who doesn't follow them, they'll see a notification letting them know that messaging the teen isn't an option.
Critics say the social media giant could be doing more, but chooses not to. And the consequences eventually catch up with everyone, even those who worked at Meta.
My 14-year-old daughter joined Instagram. She and her friends began having awful experiences, including repeated unwanted sexual advances, harassment. She reported these incidents to the company, and it did nothing.
Not all research supports the alleged correlation between social media platforms and damage to young people's mental health, says Wellesley College's Linda Chamaraman.
There are studies that show that there's benefits to social media use, and there's also studies that show there's no association whatsoever between your well-being and your social media use.
Chamaraman says her research with young people shows they want more choice when it comes to online experiences.
They knew that there are these algorithms that were, you know, trying to get their attention at no matter what, and they wanted to train the algorithm. They didn't want to say get rid of the algorithm. They wanted to say, you know what, I want you to make sure that you do show me the things that I want to see.
In a separate legal action, Meta is suing the Federal Trade Commission to stop it from reopening a 2020 privacy settlement that included Meta paying $5 billion in fines for privacy violations. The federal agency says Meta has failed to fully comply with that settlement and is seeking changes to an agreement that prohibits it from profiting on data collected from users under the age of 18. Tina Trin, VOA News, New York.
Please stay tuned as we take a brief break.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Today, we are looking at political developments in Zimbabwe and the role of youth in shaping the political landscape in the country. This at a time when the opposition Citizens Coalition for Change leadership is losing control of the party and blaming it on the ruling ZANU-PF party. To discuss this issue, we are joined in the studio by Tendekai Maoko Matanda, an advocate for change and public policy student at Princeton University. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
And on the phone, we have Antonella Nare, a ZANU-PF youth in Bulawayo. Welcome to Live Talk, Antonella.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, we will honor ladies. We'll start with you, Antonella. Looking at the situation and what is happening in Zimbabwe, what would you say about youth participation in politics?
Okay, thank you so much for that question, Pazuka. You can see that youth participation in politics, especially in Zimbabwe, is very low, considering the fact that the youth are actually the largest population in Zimbabwe. And looking at it and how the participation is when it comes to youth, it's very sad because their participation is very low, and we see that young people is not actually stepping back and not even having interest in participating in politics in Zimbabwe. And there are actually several issues that actually lead to that. You see that some of these issues can be like youth are saying that they are tired of maybe the situation, or they are not even interested or they lack knowledge of what the importance of participation in politics is.
Thank you. There, going to you, Maoko Matanda. We are looking at the situation in Zimbabwe, mm-hmm. youth participation. Mm-hmm. What's your take?
Well, I completely agree with Antonella. The youth participation in Zimbabwe is at an all-time low in Zimbabwe. With the recent election that just happened in 2023 for the general presidency, only about 20% of the youth showed up to vote in Harare, in Bulawayo, in Mutare, in Vic Falls, and etc. In these really big cities where the youth are living. And so the youth really have to show up and show out in numbers to vote, but they can't do that when the Zimbabwean government is killing them, assaulting them, kidnapping them, harassing them, tracking them down, knowing where they live when they declare that they support the opposition and not ZANU-PF. So the youth turnout is really, really low, but if the youth turnout were to be high, then the ZANU-PF government has to stop the constant human rights abuse.
Thank you. Antonella Spiele Gwela Panna, siyamuzwa lapha uthi hayi ibandla lakho ngelinye lezinto ezenza ukuthi abasakhulayo bengangeni lapha na kwezombusazwe. Wena ukubona njani lokho?
Ngiyabonga for that question, ngombuzo wona lowo Daboka. Kodwa into engiyibonayo ukuthi this issue naleyo yokuthi ama-youth engaparticipate in politics, it's across all political parties. So maybe to study blame on ZANU-PF only when this is widespread, my political parties only. And this is a cause for concern because in our community, let's take a look again, or whichever other parties that are there. ukusongwana. I see a really situation at corner that we don't see the youth again in the forefront. And we constantly blame Izani Creativity, Neo Elanina, or with Abandon participate in politics, who was known as Izani. Again, like I said, the importance of the party state in politics. And that's the reason why we see Avenue Vienna and Mova,
This is happening across all the political parties. It's not only in terms of because people are being victimized by ZANU-PF party. ZANU-PF also is facing the same challenges where youth are also not participating. What's your take?
Well, ZANU-PF has a stronghold within the Midlands of Zimbabwe. These are the rural areas where they are isolated from the cities. ZANU-PF has a strategy where they will take buses and they will bus out these voters to go and vote. They will pay them with rice, oil, money to go and vote for them because they are desperate for votes. So that is how it can affect maybe ZANU-PF because they are getting to these voters. But to say that it's also happening to ZANU-PF is simply untrue, because ZANU-PF has been in power since 1980, and they have the power to control transportation, they have the power to control the democracy and elections. And what she is saying is not simply not true.
Antonella, do you want to come in and respond to that?
Thank you so much, Tavoka, for that. I hear what you're saying. There are so many issues in Zagalai, political parties outside ZANU-PF. And these issues, again, in Zagalai, give a Kunangal, and they are now blaming ZANU-PF as the one. Of course, we acknowledge there are certain things in Zagalai, but again, we need to and then now we want to point fingers at the political and we have to ask ourselves, can we not fight for the same cause? And fight if we are for the youth and we need good. Mother talking when I won't come out with a participation, if they are saying, or if he is saying, we should be seeing Ama youth participating in other political parties, and you should be seeing them. They're the forefront. But it shows that this is not solely a ZANU-PF issue, but and Africa as a whole, should I say, the continent.
Thank you there. So, to move the issue forward, maybe my question will be, what role should young people play in Zimbabwean politics? Because we are seeing a situation where ZANU-PF is saying, no, we are also saying, facing the same challenge. It's also happening in other parties and all that. So what role should the youth play?
Thank you for that question. Well, democracy is incredibly important. And what the youth must do is they have to show out in numbers. ZANU-PF is notorious for rigging. They will always continue to rig the elections when the opposition and the minority do not show up and show out to vote. So Zimbabwean youth have, they must on election day, they must go to the polls, they must show up and wait in those 7 hour, 8 hour lines. They must go with friends, bring their friends who are able to vote, and go and vote. And on top of that, they also have to intervene with SADC. The SADC chair, who is, I believe, currently South Africa, SADC has to really implement their role in Zimbabwe, because right now SADC is doing, or they released their report, but it is not effective because of Cyril Ramaphosa. Zimbabwean youth in the in the diaspora in Zimbabwe have, I mean, in South Africa, have to go to SADC, and they have to demand that they hold the Zimbabwean government accountable for their human rights violations and making sure that Zimbabweans are able to vote on election day without any fear or harm.
So if I'm getting you right, we are going back to the issue of elections. Mm. But we are at a time where we are 5 years away from the next election. So what role do you think the youth should play in Zimbabwean politics at a time like this where we are not looking forward to an election in the near future?
That's a great question. The youth, even though the election is in the next 5 years, the Zimbabwean youth should not be solely focused on just that election. You have your by-elections, your special elections, to elect members of parliament, to elect members of your city council, and a lot of the times those smaller government positions have more power or have control much more than the Zimbabwean youth think that they do. So showing up to those polls as well, and also for participating in democracy. Even though Zimbabwe or ZANU-PF is notorious for killing, harassing, beating members who speak out against them, as if you keep on doing that, ZANU-PF is scared of that. Keep on going out in numbers to protest, despite what the Supreme Court is saying, and always voicing your opinions in a respectful manner that follows the Constitution that they have, and to show force. Because when you show force on the ground, Zimbabweans, not only just Zimbabweans, South Africans, Zambians, Tanzanians are able to see us and call on the Zimbabwean government to do so. If it happened in Zambia with Hakainde, it could happen with Nelson Chamisa.
Thank you. Antonella, you can come in there and respond. And then also, what's your view in terms of the role that young people should play in Zimbabwean politics?
All right, thank you so much, Tabo and Yavana Kwanapo. So the role that young people should play in Zimbabwean politics, it should start again, in the political parties, in the roots of the political parties. Young people should know that the role that they have to play, that their say or their words has an effect, and it's also important for them to have a say in whatever happens in the political divide in Zimbabwe. So it has to start in the grassroots level, which is the political party. As my youth, they should also see that they participate in these elections that are happening. It starts from them, political parties, which are crazy. The way we see that my young people are also involved in various decision-making platforms. And this will also encourage the next person, umuntu obuya like also ngena ku politics, if they see ukuthi khona umuntu omncane la ukhona phambili ngale ukhona ku politics, ungabi lokwethuselana, singabi lokudlwangudlwangu esikubonayo like across ama political parties, ukuthi njengokuthi for example mina njengomuntu oyezanu-PF yomuntu oyeTCC asisahlangani, asisazwanani, and this should stop. And so as young people, we should encourage each other to say that we should coexist. So we have to encourage each other, teach each other, and also encourage one with politics in whatever decision that we make. You can say, I don't want to be involved in politics, but either way or the other, these are involved. So it's good to have the knowledge and have and if you can at grassroots level.
Thank you there. Maoko Matanda, she is coming with another dimension here where she's saying it might also be an issue of a young people who are probably not enlightened to a certain extent to say people maybe have given up on politics, or people no longer understand why they should participate. They don't understand that they can make a difference. Mm. What do you think?
Well, I definitely agree with what she is saying, because ZANU-PF has made the country a deplorable mess. But for people who are like that, ZANU-PF wants you to think like that. They want you to think that we have given up completely. We are going to go to Botswana, South Africa, Malawi, etc., and we are going to leave the country. ZANU-PF wants you to think like that. That way, more and more people leave. That way, the turnout just decreases, and Zimbabwe has complete control. But to those people who are thinking like that, I am pleading with you, and I'm asking you that just show up to the polls, register to vote, because you can't rig numbers. Once so many people show up to vote you out, you cannot rig the numbers anymore. So those people who are giving up, I know it's hard. My family has lived through it. My grandparents have lived through it. I have seen it personally. But you must not be tired. You are not truly tired unless you give up. So they must show up to the polls and really demand, even if it's waiting for 12 hours in line.
Thank you. Siyamuza lapana, Antonella. Maybe my next question will be in terms of student activism. We have seen a number of people being arrested at the University of Zimbabwe, and just yesterday we had allegations that a student at the Chinoy University of Technology was abducted and tortured and then later on released. And these people are not known, and we have not seen any arrests up to date. Even we've seen a situation where one of the parliamentarians, a young person, Thabo Ngadziwore, being abducted, and we have not heard anything, any update from the police to say, no, we have arrested this person, or we have investigated and we have gotten to this stage. What's your take on that?
My take, it's simple. It's ZANU-PF. ZANU-PF realizes the power of the youth, and they realize that they are losing grip on their country. So they are doing everything in their power to ensure that they have control over parliament. So they do this by abducting people who support the opposition. They do this by attacking and defaming others. And it's so sad that it has to come down to this, and the police are being weaponized against the Zimbabwean people. And the Zimbabwean police have now become a part of ZANU-PF, essentially a third wing, to enforce this and allow this to happen, because our Zimbabwe police, our justice system is so corrupt, our Supreme Court is so corrupt, and none of this is going to change when ZANU-PF is in power, like right now.
Uyamuzwa lapana, ngenela lapana sizukuthi wena ucabanga kanjani?
Alright, ngiyabonga kakhulu Taboka. Okay, mina umbono wami when it comes to student activism, I'd like to believe ukuthi ama students when they're saying that they're advocating for the students' rights, this is within, and in the season I most of these student activists, if I want to the pieces of Trump and they're being adapted, it's mostly student activism, which is trying this, which is aligned to CCC, which is the Nazi. This is, we see them, they now want to interfere in national politics. They address other issues on national politics in student activism, which now becomes a problem. We see they are now mixing things. But again, I really I support this abduction that I said to be happening. It's not huge. If people are uprising for the right cause, I think there's no need for them to be arrested. But in my one of the are now abductions that are there, that's the claim that they are there or whatever that arrest that are there, which means that we have done something that is bad or something that is illegal. And because for now, for the time, they are arrested or what. But in that case, again, I would really like to say that on the issue of that, if they are advocating for the student rights, they should speak to that and stay away from the national politics. Or if they want to address those issues, they should address those issues outside per student parameter. So yeah, and I'm also feeling good. Kind of achieved is still having these all these abductions that are there, and I would like to believe that it's not true.
But I would like to make a follow-up question there. Is it possible to separate student activism and national politics? Is it possible to separate the two?
I would like to believe it's very possible, Dawoka, because we also have, like, ISNAF is not the one that is the only student, union that is there. He's been because, but we have not heard of another student from the course being abducted or being arrested for certain issues that it has caused that to have happened. But if you want to stick to the lines of the constitution as a union, which stands for standing for the students' rights and other issues, and they don't interfere with AMA issues that will have been maybe in the state issue, because you see that AMA issues is not only for these people that claim to be arrested or being abducted. Like they were interfering with the issue that is maybe SSN, the AMA police, which then now becomes a problem. If you have a problem, you then challenge the issue at court or at court in a way, and I saw it is fine, not Emmanuel. So I would like to believe that we have a trial, I would separate, we should be seeing the court students also being arrested or other unions that are there being arrested, but we're not seeing those issues happening.
Thank you there. Maokuma Chanda, coming back to you. Mm-hmm. So she is saying there is student activism, there is national politics, and these two should not mix. And then also the issue is that she's saying no, most of these people who are being arrested would have broken the law, and it's the system, the justice system, that is kicking in. What's your take?
Well, for the first question about student activism and national politics, I think they should mix, because regardless of what you believe in, you have the ability to persist, to be involved in whatever you want to be. But unfortunately for a country like Zimbabwe, everything revolves around politics, around ZANU-PF, around the president. So it's impossible to separate those two, and they should be combined. That way students can advocate for change. But to go on to her point about the justice system, the justice system is incredibly corrupt. To say that these people are being arrested, there are no reports of police making any arrests, because they are the ones who are doing this. And it's simply false and not true to say that there is justice and that there's accountability being withheld within the Zimbabwean justice system, because these people who were being beaten and harassed by Zimbabwean police and members who support ZANU-PF. So there would be no justice because our justice system is incredibly inept.
Thank you there. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, and I have to take this opportunity to thank you for coming in studio and for being with us today on Live Talk. It's a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Antonella, siyabonga kakhulu ukuthi wenelise ukuthi ungene kuhlelo lethu namhlanje. Siyabonga.
Siyabonga kakhulu, Dawoka.
That brings us to the end of our show. Signing off in Washington, I am Dawoka Ncube.